Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We call it the best hours of your sports week. Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Again, this is Dead End Sports. We've got a lot to talk about, but before we get started, let me remind you, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you download, subscribe, and pass the word about the best sports podcast out there, Dead End Sports. You can find it anywhere where you can get podcasts for free. So there's no reason not to subscribe. Like I said, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got Super Bowl talk. We got a lot of NBA talk. And, of course, we always close it out with one gotta go. A lot of stuff to talk about. So I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me first up is my man, FIFO. FIFO, what up, man?
Yo, what it do, Kyle?
Chilling. What's good, brother?
Man, just glad to be home. I'll just tell you that.
No doubt. Also joining us is the homie Ken. Ken, what up, playboy?
What up, Kyle?
Chilling. What's good?
Nothing, man. Got the youngin' in there watching Black Lightning. you know, because he be in there watching them white kids on YouTube running around with Nerf guns shooting at each other. I'm like, boy, you can't do that. You need to get in and watch this Black Lightning so you can see what it's really like.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to get him any false ideas.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. That is not reality. Not for you.
Also joining us, the homie Beezy will be through in just a few minutes. But joining us, man, special co-host. If you've been rocking with us for a while, man, you know this guy. He is a huge Philadelphia fan, all sports. Q to six, man. Well, shall I say, world champion, Q six, man. Q, what up, man?
Hey, what's up, y'all, man? I'm living life. Living so good
right
now.
How you feeling, brother? How you feeling?
I feel validated, and I'm going to get into that later, but I just feel good right now, man.
I know that's right. I ain't mad at you. So let's start right there, man. The Philadelphia Eagles win their first Super Bowl. They are now Super Bowl and world champions. Their win actually makes the NFC East the only division in football where every participant has at least one Super Bowl ring. So let's start right there, man. I guess we should start with just our overall thoughts on the game. FIFO, man, what were your overall thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Man, look. I'm going to start off the podcast just like this. Fuck Tom Brady, man.
The same way he started off last week's podcast.
You know, but nah, man, look. I'm glad somebody else finally won it. And, you know, I saw this post on IG that said, Falcons and Eagles are birds, so we cousins, so that means we won too, right? Rise up. So, you know, I feel good that Tom Brady didn't take down the Eagles. I'll tell you that much. But I was spooked, man. I think it was an amazing game. The NFL couldn't have scripted any better. The most yards ever in any NFL game ever, right? I think they only punted one time.
Yeah.
You had the dramatics. You know, at one point in the game, the difference was Tom Brady missing the catch versus Foles catching the touchdown. That was kind of crazy. And then just the balls to call that. Fourth and goal. And you run a double reverse with a touchdown pass to the quarterback. You know, just the gall. Oh, man. you know, Tom Brady didn't disappoint. He did enough to win the game. He did enough like he did in every other Super Bowl win that he's had. So, you know, you can't really put it on Tom Brady. Obviously, the Malcolm Butler, or is it Chad Butler?
Malcolm Butler, you're right.
Malcolm Butler. You know, him getting benched before the game, like right before the national anthem. You know, that's I don't know what that's about, and hopefully we'll get into it. You know, so I'm not gonna dive too far into it right now, but I think overall, man, it was an exciting game. Again, the NFL couldn't have scripted it better. It just shows what the Eagles have been able to do in a short amount of time. When your organization knows what it wants to do and how it wants to do it. Obviously, all you need to do is draft a quarterback. And I think that they drafted their quarterback of the future and for right now. So we'll see what Wentz looks like when he gets back. But if he could just maintain and continue to progress, man, with the weapons and everything that they got on that squad, man, they can actually win some Super Bowls with an S. But the big but is injuries. And we know that the NFL, that's a key part of the game. Like, you're going to lose players. So is next man up, how deep are they? You know, so we'll see. But I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. It exceeded all of my expectations.
True indeed. True indeed. Ken, what about you, man? Your overall thought, before we start breaking it down, what were your overall thoughts on this game, man?
Man, there's so much to get into.
and we know you have profound thoughts because we saw your man, Instagram.
Bruh, like, so much to say, especially after listening to the pundits over the last 2 days. But I'll condense my thoughts to this. Just sitting there watching the game, very neutral. Over at my in-laws' house, you know, we had my mother-in-law came to the crib. She grilled, so we had some barbecues, some mac and cheese. So we were just kind of chilling. It wasn't a Super Bowl party. Everybody there, it was really nobody there but family, honestly, just football fans. And so it was like three of us, right? So we're sitting there, you know, watching the game, and we were like, we didn't even want to watch it. Like, that was the feeling around the world, especially in Black America, for most of the ones that I talked to, that nobody wanted to watch it. But, you know, we just sat there and we're just watching. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be some BS. My father-in-law, he was like, man, they already set us up because they let T.O. into the Hall of Fame. So they done gave us one.
He said,
so they gave us T.O. and Randy Moss so to make us feel good. So they're gonna get us later on in the game. First quarter, he called. He was like, man, he said, watch, they're trying to get Brady's numbers up. They're passing on just about every down. They're trying to get his numbers up to make him MVP. And throughout the game, you know, we all just sat there and we held each other accountable, Kyle, FIFO, Q. And we were like, and you guys may have seen this on Twitter, we're not getting caught up. We're just going to watch the game. Mm-hmm. We're neutral. We're not going to get caught up in Brady losing this game or Philly possibly winning this game, capturing their first title. We're just going to watch the game. Then Philly scored. We were like, oh, yeah, and then he missed the field goal. Like, nope. So throughout the game, we're just like, all right, we're just going to watch it. You know, we're going to be neutral. We're not going to get emotionally, you know, involved. And that was the whole thing. And then it went – then the double reverse past the Foles happened because FIFO, man, Brady was wide open, bro. I think Brady dropped that on purpose because there was a guy coming to get him, and he wanted no part of it.
I thought Peterson did a good job of keeping the Patriots off balance. They were aggressive the whole night. And they didn't settle into like one thing. Like, they had a game plan for 60 minutes, and that's what kept Patricia a little bit confused in terms of being able to stop the Eagles, you know, on offense. So I think the RPO definitely helped them out a lot and kept the Patriots off balance. Brady, I mean, look, man, every time you look up, somebody was wide open. So Brady was on point, on target. He did what we expected him to do, man. You expected no less. You knew he was going to have a great game. You knew he was going to leave it all on the field. And that's what he did, man. He just came up short with the fumble. So I thought the Patriots, like, when they were down 10, you knew that the game was far from over, that they had a comeback in them. And they did. They came back and they took the lead, and it was to be expected. But what I didn't expect was for the Eagles to go right back down the field, 75, 80 yards, 14 plays, consume a lot of time on the clock. I didn't expect them to answer the score by the Patriots, because that's a situation where the opposing team, the team on the opposite side of Brady, tends to fold. They don't make the plays they need to make. in order to win the game. And when it was fourth and one, we saw Foles made the play. And then he made big throw after big throw after big throw. So Foles, to his credit, went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. I definitely thought the Clement touchdown was going to be overturned based on the way that the season has went along with a lot of questionable touchdowns overturned. But they kept it as is. And I like that, even though they've ruled differently, it was seen throughout the regular season. But what I liked is that they let the players on the field decide the game. And they kind of stayed out of it. Now, I know Patriot fans will feel otherwise because they'll feel like they were robbed by that touchdown not being overturned, and they have a right to feel that way 100%. So I wouldn't even fight them on that, but that's kind of how opposing teams have felt against the Patriots. So, you know, this is like reversing towards the mean or whatever. But overall, man, it was a fantastic game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, I definitely thought we were going to have another Brady comeback.
And if that ball would have bounced forward instead of backwards, I think Dorsett could have caught that ball. But that was pretty much it, man. Like, we watched the game neutral. We were happy when it happened for Philly to see somebody else win it. And particularly for me, man, like, to end the whole conversation about Brady being better than Jordan, because they were coming for the black man.
You know, Cam, when you said that, I did not even, and I guess maybe I tuned out some of the noise or whatever, because I didn't pay attention to a lot of that stuff leading up to the Super Bowl, but I didn't even know that was even a part of the discussion.
Man, yeah. It was on all the shows. We know what it feels like, Kyle. Mm-hmm. And I definitely didn't want Philly to, and a lot of people are sick, man. A lot of people are sick. Like, Colin Cowherd, he is sick, man.
Skip.
He's sick. Skip is just devastated. But yeah,
good Chris guy. Collinsworth.
Oh, man.
Oh my God, he was awful.
Yeah,
he was awful. Let's throw it to the Eagles fan, man. Q, give us your overall thoughts on the game, man. I know you got a lot of them.
Yeah, man. Like 60 years, man. It's just crazy. After I stopped crying and after I called all my people and they finished crying, I just had time to reflect on it, man. Like the whole game was a fantastic game. First, let me go and give props to the greatest system QB of all time in Tom Brady and Bill. They played a fantastic game. Honestly, I never seen wide receivers so open.
Yes.
Against the Eagles, like, they threw whatever they wanted, and it was definitely an offensive game. It was not a defensive game at all. But we knew that I trusted my defense more to make one play more than their deep defense, especially because Butler was on the bench. But we'll get into that. But just overall culminating thoughts about the entire like thing is just like this 60 years, man. It's 60 years of us having no type of championship, no type of validation for the team, and no type of, you know, end goal where we can say we accomplished something. Throughout the years, I mean, let me throw out some names: Jerome Brown, Reggie White. Like, these are some of the greatest players that we had. And for the city, it's always felt like there's been a cloud over, you know, our team, where it's like, oh, Jerome dies, or Reggie White goes to the Packers and wins a championship, Jim Johnson dies, like our great defensive coordinator, you know, yo, breaks his foot. We thought that was going to end bad. He goes out, balls out. We still lose in the Super Bowl. So it's always been these clouds, man. Always been the NFC Championship, lose those games. You know, it's just, you know, Jason Peters goes down and we end up going 4-12. You know, it's just always, it's always something. And it was always something for the Eagles. And if you're from Philly, if you are Eagles fan, then you know what I'm talking about, where it's like there's always been an air of this team can do something, but it just never got it right. For us to beat Tom Brady, for us to beat the Hoodie, for us to beat those two with Nick Foles after our left tackle goes down again, after our franchise QB goes down again, after our middle linebacker goes down again, it felt like, oh my God, here it goes again. We just lost all three of these people. We lost Sproles. We lost all these key guys, a key special teams player. Like, we losing all these people. And we prevail in the end with a certain sense of resilience that only a Philadelphia team could do. And for us to do that against a great team and one of the greatest QBs ever, it's validation, man, that, like, it was worth it rooting for this team all these years.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, couldn't have said it better, man. You heard it right there from a fan. Man, my thoughts on the game. First of all, I think, like Ken said, it was a well-played game on both sides. I think I knew that we were in for a good game because, I mean, if you look at the Patriots' history, they have not, even in their Super Bowl victories, they, you know, I don't think they've ever won by anything more than 3 points. I could be wrong. No more than 4 points. So it's not like they've blown anybody out. So we knew, I knew we were going to be in for a close game. When I got word that Philadelphia would be coming out to Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill, I was like, oh shit, for real? Like, so the Patriots come out to this heavy metal song. I can't even remember the name of the song. And then you hear Meek's voice. And the crowd is going crazy. The players are mouthing the words. And I found out that this had been like their theme song or whatever like that. And shout out to Meek Mill, who got a lot of love, this past weekend, and rightfully so. Hopefully, you know, they can overturn that and put their brother back on the streets. But yeah, I mean, and for a side musical note, I read that that particular song, which I think was released in like 2012 or something like that. That song is like 36 on the Billboard charts now. So, you know, so shout out to Meek. But yeah, so Philadelphia comes out to that. They're amped, they're pumped up, they're ready to play. And I think from the first drive, you could just tell that Philadelphia was not going to back down. And they were not going to, you know, necessarily, you know, kind of cater to Brady and Belichick. And, you know, you guys mentioned the call on fourth down to go for it in the pass to Nick Foles, who actually called that play, by the way. I thought that took a lot of balls from Doug Peterson, first and foremost. But I think that goes back to, you know, what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned about how, you know, Jacksonville had the lead on New England and they decided to take a knee going into halftime. That's the difference. You know, Doug Peterson said, man, you know, to hell with this. We're going for it. We're not, you know, we're here for a reason, you know, and we're going to play to win as opposed to playing not to lose. And I think that's what, you know, Jacksonville did a couple of weeks ago against New England. But yeah, phenomenal game, man. I think now I was the only one on here who picked New England to win. But I said I was rooting for Philadelphia, and it felt weird for me to be rooting for Philadelphia because I hate Philadelphia. but I had to root for them, man. I wanted to see them pull it through. And I think one of the things that I mentioned last week was the keys for them to win would have to be, I think the first thing that I said was third down conversions. And they were 10 for 16 on third down conversions. You go 10 for 16 on third down conversions, more often than not, you're going to win. The Patriots are only 5 for 10 on third down conversions. And Philly went 2 for 2 on fourth down conversions. So so New England couldn't make plays to get their defense off the field. And I think, you know, for what is, and we'll talk about Nick Foles in just a second, but, you know, yeah, Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. He's about to be, you know, he's about to get paid, I think. But Nick Foles looked like an all-pro against New England's defense. And this New England defense, while they are great in the red zone, they don't scare anybody. They don't. And they haven't all season long. And their numbers, while they had good numbers in the red zone, I think they were like 29th in defense. But it doesn't matter when you – and you're going to give up a lot of points when, you know, Brady is putting up 30, 35 points on the other side. But, yeah, man, hats off to Philly, man. Aguilar, the running back Clement, was he was huge. You know, what's the kid? Alshon Jeffrey was huge. That Philadelphia defense, they get – I mean, like Ken said, hey, man, you look at the stats – Brady threw for 500 yards. You know, this they gave up 41 points. So there was no defense played in this game. They gave up, let's see, Philadelphia gave up 613 total yards, and New England gave up 538 yards. So it was a Big 12 event. It was some Big 12 football on Sunday. But yeah, man, I thought it was a great game. I think, you know, Philly, every time when New England scored, you know, instead of saying, oh, even when and if you get a chance, go back and watch. And this one, I knew Philly was in the game. It was actually on their first mistake. So Foles has, you know, Alshon Jeffrey open. He kind of underthrows him. Jeffrey knocks the ball back. The ball gets picked. They flash to Nick Foles' face. There's no look of concern or anything. He's just as calm and cool. He's like, he has this look on his face like, okay, no problem. We'll go back and get it. And I think that was the key because, like, at that particular time, and Philadelphia's about to score. If they score, then they really got New England on the ropes. And, you know, so they don't score. So New England's like, okay, well, we got the momentum. Even when New England got the ball back in the second half, I think they pretty much had ignored Gronk for most of the first half. Gronk caught like five or six passes on that one drive on the, in, you know, coming back in, into the third quarter, and he scores a touchdown. And so, you know, it was just like, okay, here comes the Patriots again. But, you know, the to Philadelphia's credit, they didn't blink. And I think that's what you have to do. You can't let, you know, when you're playing against a team such as New England, you know they're not going to give up. So you got to keep bringing it. And I got to, you know, tip my hat to Foles and that offense and Doug Peterson for calling a great game and not being afraid to, you know, they throw a punch, we throw a punch. They throw two punches, we throw two punches. And so I think, you know, and then obviously the strip fumble was perfect. I think that, and, oh, well, so look, for, actually, look, before, yeah, I loved it. Well, before I close on my point, but the two touchdowns that were quote unquote controversial, the first one by Clement, he had control of the ball. Did the ball shift some? Yeah, it did. But that, I think, and I know Goodell had talked last week about, you know, looking into what is a catch and defining what a catch is or what isn't a catch. And I think it's, we know what a catch is, man. I guess that's all I can say. That's a catch. If you look at something long enough, you probably convince yourself that it's not.
I did.
Yeah, but Ken, you know that's a catch. That's been a catch all of our lives.
This New England, the ball. Forget what's a catch.
Okay,
this
New England. So you, like me, like everybody in your house, everybody in my house, was like, when they saw the replay, like, oh, they might call this one back. This is New England. and the Ertz catch, that was clearly a catch. I mean,
that was a waste of time.
It was a waste of time, and I really didn't like the fact. I mean, Chris Collinsworth, I don't like Chris Collinsworth already, but when you're calling a game, you're supposed to be unbiased. You're supposed to be, you know, Chris Collinsworth, and I tweeted this out. Chris Collinsworth was really talking like he had money on the game. Like, I really think he lost the grip on the game. But Ertz catches the ball, plants his foot, takes three or four steps before he dives in. He made a football move. All in football, all you have to do is the ball has to cross the plane. Once the ball crosses the plane, that's it. It's a wrap. It's a touchdown. He can go to the – and his catch and the catch that wasn't by Jesse James in Pittsburgh are two different things.
Jesse James, they are so different, man. They are so not different. Identical at all. And people, I'm tired not of people saying that they're the same play. They're not.
They're not. And so – you know, so the Ertz catch was a catch. It wasn't worth all of that. And I think – you know, the referee did a good job of explaining it. He was a runner and he dove into the end zone. And when he came down, you know, the ball came out, but he still, it was basically him in the end zone. The ball pops out. He's still, at the very least, it's a fumble. Philly recovers, still touchdown. So, And, you know, once the strip fumble happened, it was a wrap. Now, and I tweeted out, I said, you know, if you're up 8 and you lose this game at this point, you know, then you deserve to lose. And I even saw some people complaining about, even on the Hail Mary, that one of the receivers got bumped. Listen, man, let me tell y'all something. It's just like in basketball. Unless it's a blatant, obvious foul on the last play of the game, the refs aren't going to call a receiver getting pushed. Everybody's jockeying for position. Gronk pushed somebody out of the way on his way up the field. I mean, so it is, but what Kyle, it is.
He What's leveled. Up? He didn't just push him. He took him out.
Okay, so but
I'm surprised they didn't call that either.
But to be honest, Ken, I mean, so much stuff is happening on a Hail Mary that I don't want to say the refs not going to see it, but most refs won't. They just won't. I mean, because guys are just running into each other trying to get to position to get downfield. The refs' eyes in that situation are generally locked on the bunch of players who are together right there at the end zone trying to make that catch. So was it pass interference? Yeah, but I honestly, they're not going to call it. I can't think. You just think about the last time you've seen a pass interference called on a Hail Mary. And they're not making that call in the Super Bowl. They're just not. Maybe for the Patriots, maybe. And I don't know. Maybe their fans were upset that they didn't get that call. But all in all, man, I thought it was a great game, man. Again, shout out to Philly. Kevin Hart after the game was hilarious. From him trying to get on stage to coming up on NFL Network and cussing on live TV. He was funny as hell. But yeah, shout out to them. Nick Foles, man, salute to you. I said last week he was going to have to play out of his mind, and he did. And he shut a lot of people up, including me. I still think he's a backup quarterback, but he's a damn good backup quarterback. And, you know, you gotta tip your hat to Philly, because Philly and I guess we would say Minnesota, probably the only two teams that had backups that could lead their teams to, you know, to the Super Bowl. Because, you know, you think about it. Think about your favorite team. Your favorite team – if you even know who your backup is, he probably can't lead you out of the parking lot. So, so again, man, shout out to Philly. Shout out to the city of Philadelphia, to fans like Q and Janae and my boy OJ Philly. Yeah, y'all got it, man. Y'all deserve it. And it's much deserved. And for all of our listeners who are Philadelphia fans, I know we got a few hit us up on Twitter, man. Shout out to all of you guys. Enjoy the championship. So let's move on to the Belichick side of this. Malcolm Butler, man, he finds out moments before they sing the national anthem that he is not playing. Now, Bill Belichick said, you know, during the game, he told Michelle Tafoya on the sideline that he was not playing because, you know, they wanted to put the best players out there on the field that was going to give them the best chance to win. Belichick stuck with that theme in the post-game press conference. So did former defensive coordinator, now head coach of B's Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia, say the same thing. That said, Malcolm Butler said he was not benched for any particular reason. He said after the game that they gave up on him. You know, it's been rumored that he had missed the plane. He had been sick and he missed the plane out to Minneapolis. And but he had a bad week of practice or what have you. But still, to find out that you're not going to play in the Super Bowl minutes before you're about to take the field is one thing. And I have my thoughts on it. But let me throw it to you, Q. Did Belichick's decision to bench Malcolm Butler cost the Patriots this game?
It didn't help. I think we know that. Malcolm Butler, man, two Super Bowls ago, he makes probably the only play that was going to win the Patriots that game against the Seahawks because, you know, Pete Carroll ain't run the ball. But Malcolm Butler won that Super Bowl for them, like won it for them, ripped it out of Ricardo Lockett's hands. He played 97% of the snaps this year. He didn't have a fantastic year. I'm not saying he's Patrick Peterson, not saying he's, you know, prime Sherman, but he's a solid corner. He's at least a B+, B- corner. I'm sure Patriots fans will hit me up talking about he was terrible or whatever, but you know, they don't like any other players besides Tom. But the thing is, Belichick, I do think he cost them a couple of key possessions, because I think Malcolm Butler has a sort of a ball hawk mentality around him where he'll get his hands on a couple balls, like not like at least not picking them off, maybe like he did in the Super Bowl, but he's at least good at deflecting passes. He gets physical with the best of them. And if you look at the tape, I think it was either last year or I think it was this year against Pittsburgh, where, you know, he was contesting and he was fighting with Antonio Brown. And that's probably that's the best wide receiver in the NFL, in my estimation. So Belichick as that entire decision, to me, I think it was classless. In my personal opinion, I feel like he played with his money, because now he's not eligible for certain extensions and incentives now because he didn't play. And to tell him right before the was it before or after the national anthem?
Right before the national anthem. That's why he was crying on the national anthem.
Yeah, so right before the national anthem, that made the man cry. you know, made the man shed tears during the national anthem. It's just classless, man. And I think that at least owes him some sort of compensation, some sort of answer, like, yo, this is why we didn't do this. I'm hearing rumors now talking about, you know, he might have violated some team policy. Man, I don't care. This is the biggest game in the world, you know, at least in this country. And you make this decision right before the national anthem. I feel like that's something that can be addressed to me at least the day before, or at least in practice, so I don't have to, you know, tell my mom and whatnot I'm playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know he has family in the stands. I know that he has. Yeah, I know he has people coming to see him, and then you have to tell your mom after the game, yeah, he didn't want me. He benched me for this third-year player out of Utah. And I know Eric Rowe because he played for the Eagles. Eric Rowe was not that good. And it was apparent he wasn't that good when Alshon Jeffery mossed him for about 40 yards. And went right at him. Yeah, and so, yeah, it didn't help, man. Belichick, once again, tried to be the smartest dude in the room. And this time, it didn't turn out right. He looked like he ended up with egg on his face. So I do think that if not completely going one-sided with the extreme of, yes, that lost them the game, it certainly did not help. And I can certainly see Malcolm Butler with his ball hawk mentality getting his hands on a couple of plays and getting either one type of tip pass, a deflection, something, because he does have that mentality to go get the football. And Eric Rowe he did not have his best game, and that's coming from a guy who's seen Eric Rowe play pretty bad. So, yeah, man, Belichick outsmarted himself, and he did not help his team win that game by doing that decision.
No doubt, no doubt. Joining us now is the homie BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up? Y'all can hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah, you sound good, man. We talking about the Super Bowl right now. Let's start right there with you, man. Belichick's decision to bench Malcolm Butler. Do you think that cost him the game?
No, I don't think it cost him the game. You know, just the fact that Foles stepped up and outplayed Brady is the reason why that they won that game. You know what I'm saying? Hey, shout out to Q. I'm glad Q on this too, because I know he was ripping and raving about his Eagles, man, winning the damn Super Bowl, winning their first franchise Super Bowl. So shout out to Q. I know he's on here. But yeah, man, I think Malcolm played or not, I don't think it would have made a difference. I think people are just so hung up on that clutch interception he had against the Seahawks because Pete Carroll didn't want to let Beast Mode go ahead and be the Super Bowl MVP and win that game for him. But yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. I think your team put up 41 points, they put up 41 points. It's not like Malcolm Butler is an island type of cornerback, a type of guy that's going to have you on the island. You know what I'm saying? So it wouldn't have made no difference, man. I mean, it was interesting. I still want to find out, like, what's the tea behind Malcolm Butler getting benched, you know what I'm saying, throughout this whole game? Because, you know, you're hearing all types of different reports, but we don't know yet. You know what I'm saying? So I want to know what's the full story behind him being benched the entire game. Did he violate something? Like, what really happened for him to get benched? Because clearly, it couldn't have just been for no reason. It couldn't have been Belichick being, oh, yeah, we're going to – you know, Belichick tried to get his Nick Saban on, and it just didn't work. It really didn't work. You know, when Nick Saban switched out the QB or whatever, like, Like, it just, that backfired on him big time. But be honest with you, in my opinion, I don't think it would have made a difference if Malcolm Butler would have played.
Okay, okay, okay. FIFO, what about you, man? Malcolm Butler, he sits, doesn't get notified until, like I said, minutes before he's about to take the field of, you know, the biggest game of the year. He played, keep in mind, he played 97% of the snaps this season. And Belichick sits him, man. Do you think that cost him the game?
That's why he was crying. Because he knew he wasn't going to play. He knew he wasn't going to play. That's why.
No doubt. No doubt.
I don't think it cost him the game, but I think it cost him an opportunity to maybe have a couple of more plays made in their behalf. Because, you know, football is a game of inches, man. It not one player or one moment is truly the defining moment in most instances. And I don't think it would have been the case in this game. Remember, we only had one punt the entire game. So could Malcolm Butler had his hand on maybe like a key, maybe third down or second down or first down, something that could have maybe generated some momentum defensively in their favor? Of course. But I don't think it cost them the game. I think that we were still going to see two prolific offenses. Because I don't know how the hell the Patriots do it, but their wide receivers, like sometimes there's just nobody around them. You watch the game, they're not doing anything special, and all of a sudden here goes this guy with nobody around him. He has to wait for the football, then he gets a 60-70 yard chunk, you know. So I don't understand how that happens. But then when you look at the Eagles, the way that offense is orchestrated, they're the ones that create the lane. That system is amazing, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not gonna say, you know, I'm not gonna downplay Carson Wentz or the success that Nick Foles has had, but that offense, the way it's catered, and then the guys that they have at the positions, you know, obviously, what's his name? Alshon Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big pickup. That's a humongous pickup. We saw what Alshon was able to do with Jay Cutler. So you give him a guy that's more accurate in a system that rewards the big play. Man, like, I don't know, man. I don't think Malcolm Butler, just that one guy, changes the dynamic of the game in its entirety. Maybe a player or two, but I don't think the outcome would have changed because of him.
Belichick benching Butler, did that cost him the game? Is that the question that we that's what we're asking?
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. Blackness cost him that game last night. That's what happened. Blackness cost him that game. The whitest team in the NFL with the whitest coaching staff, you know, just got, man. He just got. Brandon Graham and his bad hamstring got in there, and he put them paws on Brady, and he calls Brady the GOAT, the greatest of all time, the clutchest quarterback in NFL history. We can't knock his accomplishments, but he had two chances to win the game. The ball was in his hands, and I'm like everybody else in the world thinking that somehow, some way, he's going to drive them down the field, get them in scoring position. Well, either he's going to drive them down the field. Let me put it this way. He plus the referees were going to drive them down the field to put them in the position to win that game. I just knew it was going to happen. But, you know, Blackness didn't let it happen that night, man. They were like, we had enough. And Brandon Graham got in there, knocked the ball out, and then, you know, they did what they had to do to win that game. You know, they didn't stop Brady the whole second half. They didn't stop Brady the whole night. But we knew Philly's defense was way better than what they were displaying. But both teams just had a bad night last night. But you just needed to make one play. So I'm not going to sit here and say Belichick benching Butler cost them the game, because Belichick was doing what he always does. And when it works, and even when it doesn't work, all I've heard people do was give him credit. It's the system, the Patriot way. Well, the Patriot way didn't go that way last night, and that's just what it is. So now all of a sudden people are upset and hurt because Brady didn't win the Super Bowl, and they're looking for somewhere to place the blame. So, yeah, could he have made a play here or there? P- possibly. You know what? We don't know, and we never will know. So they can sit there just like I had to sit there last year and wonder, what if? What if Butler would have played? What if Atlanta would have ran the ball? What if Marshawn Lynch would have ran the ball? That's what y'all feeling right now, the what if. And you would never know, just like we would never know what would happen. So, no, Belichick did not cost them the game at all. That was Brady. That loss falls squarely on Brady's hands. He cost them the game. I don't give a damn how many yards and touchdowns he threw. Y'all can kill me with that noise. He had the ball in his hands, and he fumbled it away on a great defensive play by Brandon Graham, who was playing on a busted hamstring, or a strained hamstring. So, no, just like I looked at that Pittsburgh game, and when I said Ben Roethlisberger's two turnovers cost them the game, the same thing happened in the Super Bowl. Brady's turnover cost them the game. The difference is Brady's came at the most inopportune times in that game, and it is what it is. And they just go home losers, man. Hey, man, I'm just saying, it kicked off my birthday in my birthday month in grand fashion. It was one of the greatest gifts ever. And you know what? It kicked off Black History Month, man. So like I said, blackness won that game, and blackness cost him that game last night.
Belated happy birthday to Ken, man. What was your birthday on? The first, right?
Yeah, it was the first.
My bad. I forgot to hit you up, man. I saw it on Facebook, and I was like, I'll text him, and I forgot to text him. My bad. Here's what I'll say. I don't think his decision to bench Malcolm Butler cost them the game, but it helped. It helped them lose the game, and I'll tell you why. You guys know I played football. I played in college, and no, I didn't play on the highest level. I didn't play at Notre Dame. I played at South Carolina State, a Division I AA historically black college. I'll say this: Belichick was wrong in this situation because you don't have a guy practice all week long, or really 2 weeks, because Malcolm Butler practice. So he got the reps with the guys. And if you play football, it's just like the same as basketball. You have a certain continuity with the guys that you're on the court with in basketball. You have a certain continuity. Secondary, you know, receivers need to be on the same page, but they need more so to be on the same page with the quarterback than the other receiver. You know, but in a situation like defensive backs, because a lot of what they do in tandems and they do it together, the secondary has to be, you know, a cohesive unit. So if you take somebody out of that unit, you know, you just don't know what the next person is going to do. Now, it's different if somebody gets hurt because, you know, then it's next man up mentality. But like Q said, Rowe is a guy who is, you know, there's a reason why he's the third or fourth string corner. You know, he's going into the game. I'll just give you his mindset. A guy like Rowe, he's going into the game thinking, okay, well, I'm probably going to play, I don't know, 20, 25 snaps in the Super Bowl. Let me just get myself mentally prepared to play 20, 25 snaps in the Super Bowl. And then the guy taps you on the shoulder 2 minutes before the game is about to start, and he says, hey, you're up. You're starting. His whole mentality changes. Now he's got to play 70 plays, and he's not prepared for that mentally. Wherein you practiced for 2 weeks with this guy, and you can't sell us the story that, and when I say you, I mean Belichick, you can't sell us the story that, okay, well, we're better, we put the best players out there. Not when this guy played 98% of the snaps that you had all season. So it's got to be more than that. The truth will eventually come out. Like I said, there's been rumors and innuendos that he missed a curfew, or there were, you know, here's the thing, man. Let's say he did miss curfew. Let's say he broke a team rule. Bench him for a half. I mean, Philadelphia, when the offensive coordinator realized, well, when the people upstairs realized that Malcolm Butler wasn't in the game, they started attacking. That first touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, who was it on? Bro, go look at Alshon Jeffrey's numbers in the first half. Now, he didn't catch a pass in the second half. And that's the thing. Malcolm Butler probably would have been matched up with him man-to-man for the rest of the game. They put New England's other corner, the other corner on him, and he did a good job as far as holding him down. But Aguilar got off. Ertz started getting off. Clement out the backfield was killing him. So when you remove a starter, you can't – it's not balanced anymore. So I don't think it necessarily cost them the game, but it helped them lose because Philadelphia clearly exploited the weaknesses that it's almost like you got a center and you got your center 7 feet tall and you got somebody 6'5" or 6'4" playing him in the post. You're going to keep throwing it down low. And that's a part of the, I gave you the numbers, 10 for 16 for Nick Foles on third down conversions. A lot of those third downs were on the mismatches that Foles saw and that he was able to create. And a lot of those mismatches came because you didn't have Malcolm Butler out there. So, you know, Bill Belichick, he's probably a little too smart for his own good. And again, it didn't cost them the game, but it helped them lose the game. So that got me to thinking about, you know, this end of the season, the season for the New England Patriots. You know, many people have referred to this run that, you know, they've had over these 15, 16, 17 years as a dynasty. You know, they have the rings, they have the hardware to prove it. But I guess the question I have is, and I'll throw it to you first, Q. Is the Brady Belichick dynasty over?
No, it's not. Not unless Bill has other aspirations to go and see if he can do it without Tom. I would love to see that personally, just because, you know, I want to see a team besides the Patriots make it out of the AFC East. And it's kind of like that whole, you know, Jordan and Phil thing, man. Like the way that I compare Phil Jackson and Bill Belichick is almost synonymous with how I compare Brady to like a Kawhi, where obviously Brady is 10 times better in his sport than Kawhi is, but it's that same situation where a guy who has talent needed a great coach to bring it out of him. So it's like Kawhi, you know what I'm saying? He had game, he had skill in college, but without Pop, who's to say that talent could have reached the level that it's at now? Same thing with Brady. So personally, in my estimation, I think the relationship for success in a percentage is more 60% Bill and 40% Brady, in my personal opinion. Because if you look at every single Super Bowl, it's always because the New England Patriots have an incredible defense. If, you know, people forget that, yes, Malcolm Butler made that play, but last time I checked, Darrelle Revis and Brandon Browner were also the corners on that New England team. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have Revis, who's probably, by all said and done, going to be at least a top five corner by the time, you know, he's put into the Hall of Fame. And then you have a good corner in Brandon Browner. And then you had a great front seven. And then Super Bowl. You go to the Carolina Super Bowl, you go to the St. Louis Super Bowl, and if you go to the Eagles Super Bowl. And you see great defenses. Not to say Brady, you know, didn't do his thing, but he wasn't putting up 500 yards then. You know, he was kind of almost a game manager. So I don't think the relationship between them is over unless by this summer there's a breaking point. But if I was a betting man, I think we have about two more years of this Patriots dynasty because they're going to be back.
FIFO, what about you, man? Do you think this Brady Belichick dynasty is over?
It's a wrap. I told y'all before the Super Bowl. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Look, when you have full autonomy over a roster and you've been basically 100% right getting rid of guys right before the decline and you wanted to get rid of Tom Brady and you had Jimmy G and then the owner says, nah, buddy, not that move. It's a wrap. It's a wrap because part of the reason why they were great is because Bill Belichick was allowed to do what he needed to do when he needed to do it. Look at Jim Johnson with Dallas. They was winning Super Bowls, and who put that together? It's similar in a sense that the owner now wants to tinker. Obviously, two completely different scenarios, and I don't want to say, oh, it's exactly alike. No. And I'm not going to get into the Dallas situation. But over here with the Patriots, man, you got to let Bill Belichick live. And sometimes you have to take that tough pill. And Robert Kraft wasn't having it. He's like, oh, hell no. I'm riding with Tom. So since you picked Tom, I think that Bill Belichick wants – I think the biggest way for Bill to stick it to Robert is to go somewhere and win it. you know, and win it relatively quickly. I don't see him staying in New England for what? And I'm talking about this upcoming season. For what? You lost the Super Bowl. If you would have done things the way you wanted to do them, you probably would have felt that you would have won the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. There's a lot of things that happen with the Patriots. I think that their run has come to an end. I think Belichick wants to see if he can win without Tom. Because Tom Brady's run is over. Man, 41. He's ancient. It should have been over. At the end of the day, man, I know how competitors think. I know how people that want to succeed think. And Bill Belichick wants that challenge, man. I think this run with the Patriots is a rock.
Man, I'm kind of in the middle with B4 and Q. I do think we might see a year or two, possibly, with these. Because, I mean, you know, it's not like the AFC East is getting any tougher. All three of those squads are pretty damn near in need of QBs. It's not like we're seeing any of these squads making a splash, at least yet, because, you know, we haven't got to the free agency part of the offseason of the NFL. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they can look at this and be like, look at the position we're in. Like, we're still the cream of the crop in the AFC. You know, it's like the situation when, you know, like if Brown would have stayed in Miami, Miami would have still been the cream of the crop of the East when LeBron came back to the Cavs. I feel that way with the Patriots. Like, if Brady and Belichick come back again and do this again, they're still going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC, you know, with the exception of, you know, Pittsburgh and maybe couple of teams. That's about it. But their division.
Jacksonville, Sassy Ramsey and the boys.
So, yeah, Sassy.
They just need a quarterback.
They just need a quarterback. So, but, yeah, I mean, I can see them coming back. But, yeah, like people said, with all the drama that's been going on, you know, between them two, I can definitely see one of them, you know, leaving the organization, probably Bill Belichick. I can see him leaving before Tom Brady leaves, because Tom Brady still wants to play till he's 45. That's why I kind of agree with FIFA on that end as far as it being over. But I just because the AFC East is so whack, man, I can just see them coming back again and say, hey, look, this is get us another run. If this don't work out this time, or regardless of what happens this season, you know, I'm Bill Belichick might be like, hey, I'm going somewhere else and winning somewhere else, and you can continue to play till you're 45 over here at the Patriots.
Okay.
I'm kind of like in between, man. I'm kind of like in between Q and Ralph. So,
you know what? I'm a side with FIFA on this one.
what?
Yeah, man.
That's look, rare.
Yeah, that. Initially, I was like, after the game, I was like, man, we got to deal with this mess for 4 more years, because the AFC is down. They just don't have the personnel to beat outside of Pittsburgh, and we never know with them. But outside of them, who else stands a real shot at beating them? So I'm like, oh, man, we got to deal with this 4 more years.
Right.
But then Matt Patricia's gone. And then Josh McDaniels was gone, and then he came back. And that kind of signaled to me that Belichick's run is probably done, if not this year or next year, the year after that, because right now he's committed to coaching in 2018. But let's not forget that when that story broke, they denied it, and then later on, the story started to change. Mm-hmm. And if you look at everything leading up to the Super Bowl, the Patriots went off brand, and they got passes for it. Like, they got passes out the wazoo. Because let me tell you, if there was anybody else that released the documentary the week before the Super Bowl, it would have been a distraction. They would have been ripped for it. They would have been heavily criticized for it, especially if they were black. And we saw what they did to Antonio Brown, because I think he had a Facebook deal, and they jumped all over him. Now I understand that part of his speech was caught on camera, Tomlin's speech, and I get that. So it was slightly different, and Brady's was a little bit better. But distractions. ODB. Odell. Distractions. That's all we heard. Tom released a week-long documentary. Nothing. So, yeah, and the media ate it up. They spent 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl kissing Brady's ass because they haven't been themselves. And a couple of people picked up off on that. Belichick releasing a documentary. When does he do that?
right.
I think, I just think it's over, man, because now each individual, they're looking out for themselves. And for Kraft to basically increase Josh McDaniel's salary and or double it or whatever it was to bring him back, to sweeten the deal, as they put it, something is amiss. Something is going on, and I think Brady and Josh McDaniels has a really good relationship, and I think Belichick, I think they're done with him, and I think I'm totally with FIFO. Something is going to happen down the line before next season. And they're saying all the right things now, which is what they do. But later on, something's going to happen, and Belichick is going to step down. So
they hire Mike Pence for head coach.
Say what?
I said they're probably going to hire Pence for head coach.
I just caught that. I'm actually going to agree with Ken and FIFO, man. I think this is it. I think, are they good enough to make it back to the playoffs? Of course. Because like you said, the AFC is whack. You got a couple of teams like Jacksonville who might be a player or two away. I think Pittsburgh is the most talented team in the AFC and arguably one of the most talented teams in the league. And they wet the bed this year. If they can bounce back and Mike Tomlin's going to be under a lot of fire, at least more fire than he probably should be. But, if Pittsburgh can bounce back, I think Pittsburgh's going to be right there in the mix. I don't see them making it, because here's the thing, at 41, you don't get better. You get older, so I don't expect Brady's not Barry Bonds. His numbers aren't going to be that much. Now, it's not like he's going to fall off or anything like that. But then the fact that, Ken, you made a good point. They don't have Jimmy Garoppolo behind him. So you can't even push Brady out the door. Let's say they come back to camp and Brady's a little off or whatever. Let's say to start the season next year and they start off a little slow and Brady, you could visibly tell that Brady's kind of lost it a little bit. You can't even push him out the door because you don't have anybody to back him up. You're stuck with Brady pretty much. So like you said, Ken, I agree. With Josh McDaniel not taking the coach job as people had expected that he would. In fact, it was all but signed, sealed, delivered today, and he announced that he is going to stay. That lets me know that Belichick is probably going to be in New England, maybe 1, maybe 2 years, and then he's done. I think Belichick's been there like 18, 19 years. I mean, that's 20 years is long enough to be at a job. I don't care where you are. This ain't GM. Nobody stays at jobs for 20 years anymore. So I think it is. Can they make the playoffs? Of course. They're going to have to get better on defense because obviously you can't give up 500 yards in the Super Bowl and expect to win. I think it's close to it, man. I think the dynasty and it's been a great run. There's nothing that, any Patriots fan should be mad or ashamed about. It's been a great run, but I do think it's coming to an end. So we close the book on football and we move over to the NBA. Man, I don't even know where to start. last week, fellas, there were some reports that LeBron would actually take a meeting with the Warriors if they could offer him a max deal when he becomes a free agent next summer. LeBron obviously adamantly refuted those reports, but I gotta ask, Ken, what do you think about this? I mean, could that happen? LeBron in a Warriors uniform?
Hell no. No. Nah, man. I don't think he'll do that to himself, man. LeBron's that would just destroy his legacy. I don't care.
It will.
Yeah, man.
Man.
I can't co-sign that. I mean, it KD got a title, but I still think that move didn't help him either. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen at all. I think that was just clickbait.
Q, what about you, man? LeBron the Warrior, is that possible?
Nah, that's fake news, man. No one believes that. I'm almost positive that that is completely coming out of the LeBron James camp, so they can ramp up offers and actually go do something. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that pretty soon. But that's definitely just, you know, something out of LeBron's camp, so the Cavs management can actually up the ante and go get him some help so they can stop losing games to the Magic. But, yeah, fake news.
Okay. FIFO, man. If that happened, obviously they would have to clear cap space. I know they'd have to get rid of Andre Iguodala. They'd have to do, I think, like a sign-in trade with Klay Thompson. But you would have arguably the three best players in the NBA on the same team with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry. What's the likelihood of this happening, man?
I don't think that's going to happen, but anything is possible. All right,
KG.
Golden State, I'm just saying, look, if LeBron sits down with them and they show him a way where they can still get, you know, maintain a bench, obviously they're going to have to get rid of some guys and bring him on, but still have the core. That's something that I think that he would have to entertain. But Ken, I'm with you, and B, you know, and Q, where this hurts his legacy. And LeBron, I think he's mastered social media. He's mastered controlling the narrative. He's mastered being passive aggressive. And that's exactly what this has LeBron written all over it. You know what I'm saying? He's the drama king. He truly is. That's why Kyrie wanted out. That's why this iteration of the Cavs team is imploding. That's why LeBron wouldn't mind, you know, shipping, you know, the majority of the guys out of there and starting all over. I'm LeBron. I'm the king. It don't matter. The championship out of the East come through me. So that's how he's feeling. And that's exactly, that's the message he's sending. But at the end of the day, it's nonsense. I don't think he's going to sign with the Warriors. However, I do not think he will be a Cleveland Cav next season.
Mm. Okay. B, what about you, man? LeBron, a Warrior. How likely is that?
No, it's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. It's no way that he goes to that team. Like I kind of chimed in on Ken. It will mess up. It would definitely look very shaky if he do something like that, man. But yeah, there's no way, man. I don't even see if Adam Silver even let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, no way, because I know a lot of dudes that's like, man, I wouldn't even watch. I don't even think I'd watch the NBA if LeBron go to the Warriors. Like, it would be no point of me watching the NBA. So like it would rub a lot of NBA fans the wrong way, man. Diehard fans and the casual fans. So I don't see how LeBron would even want to entertain that. Why would he even want to go to that team? Like, you know, I agree with people. He is gone. He's out. He's out of Cleveland. I mean, it's just a matter of where he's going to be at this during his offseason, where he's going to go. But he's out of Cavs. I mean, I think Ken just texted us an article, him saying that he's in for the long haul.
Ralph.
Yeah, the long haul of this damn season. But that's about it. That's about as long as haul you're gonna get from LeBron this season. It's just up to May. You know, that's about it. Once that season is a wrap, it's over. He's out of there. LeBron is gone. He ain't in for no long haul. Long haul my ass.
Yeah, I agree, man. I even saw where the general manager for the Hawks, the assistant GM for the Hawks, was speaking to 92.9 The Game, a sports talk show here in Atlanta. He said, and I quote, "I really, really would be surprised if LeBron went to Golden State." He said, "The one thing I will say about Mr. James, he's a master at using the media to get whatever story he wants out there. He's perfected the art of the social media game, to your point." He said, "I think those things were probably leaked by Mr. James himself and his camp," close quote. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. Ken, you nailed it on the head. I think this sounds like something LeBron would probably kick out there. Bill Simmons even said the same thing. Bill Simmons said that, you know, he tweeted that LeBron was saying it to mess up the chemistry of the Warriors, which I don't think you can do. But, you know, I don't see this. And again, not only does it, I mean, it all but destroys his legacy if that something like that would have happened. And like you said, B, I agree. You know, even the most casual, you can't watch back. I mean, like, and when I started thinking about it earlier today, I'm like, I don't think there's ever been any sport where you had the three best players in the league on the same team. You know, you've had, you know, one, maybe two of the best three or something like that, or number one and number two, but never in any pro sport. And you guys listening can tell me, you know, if I'm wrong, but I can't think of any sport where you had the three best players in the game. And you can make a case that, you know, okay, well, if you want to move Harden in there or whatever like that, but let's just say LeBron, KD, and Steph are the three best players in the game. You've never had a situation, particularly in the NBA, where the three best players are on the same team. So no, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Golden State is, you know, I mean, obviously if LeBron asked for a meeting, I'm pretty sure they would grant him one, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But LeBron, you know, even on his other tours as a free agent, we do know that he interviewed or, you know, had meetings with teams that he probably wasn't going to sign with anyway. So the fact of him taking a meeting, yeah, that's a very strong possibility. I think it's crazy, but it, you know, stranger things. Then again, I didn't think Kevin Durant would end up, you know, in Golden State and look what happened. So we'll see how that goes as his free agency plays out. But that, you know, set off a firestorm. I think that was Friday. Then we roll into Saturday, and the big game Saturday night had paired the Rockets going into Cleveland, national TV, Super Bowl week. But hey, we had a key matchup on national TV, and the Rockets proceeded to blow out the Cavs 120-88. And all of us, we saw this game. This game, I mean, it really, you can make a case this game really was over in the first quarter. It was just that bad. I mean, James Harden went on the bench, and, you know, I think the Rockets went up by like 25 points. So it got, you know, I know Jalen Rose was on ABC's talking about it, and, you know, he reiterated the point. Both he and Stephen A. Smith said the same thing, that the Cavs as a team have quit on LeBron. B, what's your take on that, man? Do you think that these guys have quit, knowing that LeBron is their leader? Do you think that they've quit on him?
Based on this damn game with Orlando, yeah, because they was up in Orlando pretty big. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, Cavs finally about to break their little slump they in with, you know, playing against Orlando. And then I look up, and I see Orlando got the lead, and they winning in the fourth. I'm like, wow, they only scored, what, 8-9 points
no,
in the
not,
fourth?
No, yeah, the Cavs scored nine points in the fourth quarter. And blew a 21-point lead
on the road to
the Orlando Magic, who did not have Aaron Gordon in their lineup.
Yep. So, yeah, team is just, like, giving up. Isaiah Thomas, we already see the quotes that Isaiah Thomas has been saying. So it's just, yeah, now I think these teams, it's just imploding right in front of our eyes. I told people this when we was about to play our game last week. The way they looking, I don't even know if Cavs won't even get out the second round right now. Wow. I mean, just the way that they're looking. Just like as of right now, I don't see them getting out the second round. I really don't right now. I don't. So, yeah, man, the team is just literally giving up. Because, I mean, at this point, the team is looking like this. Why are we going to fight hard to try to play into June when we know we ain't about nothing? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why try to fight and to play in the late May and possibly early June when you gonna play Golden State and get swept? It's gonna be a 30-point blow almost every four games they get swept if they play Golden State. So, you know, it's crazy, man. Yeah, team just giving up. I think they're gonna start preparing their vacation for mid May. A lot of those guys. I think they are. Cause yeah, like cool. I said, I don't right now, just right now, I don't see them getting out the second round. I'm sorry, I just don't.
What about you, Q? You saw it, man. They got smoked on national TV, man. What's your take on this? Has this team quit on their leader?
I think everybody's just quit in general. I think LeBron is – he's in that 2011 Kobe, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you remember when the Thunder were coming up and the Lakers kind of like had that last stand where they just got beat by the young baby Thunder, and everyone was like, oh, Kobe will be back. Kobe will be back. Yeah, Kobe didn't come back after that. It was pretty much over for him at that point. I think that's where LeBron is in his career, man. It's not his fault. He's obviously, you know, still top three player in the NBA. I still say top one, top two. But man, they can't switch anything, man. Like this team is so deficient on defense. It's not even funny. Tristan Thompson has become a former like a shell of himself. I blame Chloe. JR can't hit nothing. Iman Shumpert, we already know what he's about. It's Isaiah Thomas, man. He's the problem. And I called it from the moment that they traded Kyrie for Isaiah. I said, I don't like this trade one bit, because Isaiah, to me, from what I've seen, that system in Boston makes people better than what they are. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to come to the realization that people think Kyrie Irving is like Kawhi on defense now, man. Mm-hmm. That team in Boston plays incredible team defense. They know how to properly switch, and they know how to hide guys on defense. Isaiah Thomas is 5'8", 5'9", with a pair of Kobe's on. So for him to be able to average that 30 in that 1 month and to have his MVP odds, you know, be within the top five, that's all Brad Stevens, in my opinion. Not saying Isaiah's not talented, not saying he's not a gifted scorer, but man, what, like, the Warriors are exploiting him every time they play him. What do you do? Like, if you switch him onto anybody, just take him into the post and put it up. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you switch KD onto Isaiah? That's like that's just murder. And like, what do you do if you switch Stanley Johnson on to Isaiah? We see that they lose the game. Lesser talented guys. Tristan Thompson can't get rebounds anymore. J.R. Smith is having his worst statistical shooting year in his entire career. LeBron James looks tired, demoralized, defeated, because he has no one else to take the load off on him. Derrick Rose changes his hairstyle every 2 weeks, so we don't know what he's up to at this point. Like, dude, like, it's like what Shannon Sharp said. Like, he left the team with a fade, came back with dreads. No one knows what Derrick Rose is doing. He's too busy designing his new shoes. You got Iman Shumpert, he's dealing with Tiana Taylor. You got, you know, Jose Calderon. We don't know what he's doing. It's just a bunch of guys that don't fit together. Jay Crowder can't do anything. And that just proves my point that Brad Stevens is responsible for most of that team success. Not saying these guys are not talented, but that team's success in Boston is a lot of Brad Stevens. So you see what Jay Crowder's doing. Jeff Green is having a pretty solid year, but who's looking to be Jeff Green's second option? Like what type of championship team has Jeff Green as a second option? They cannot switch anything. I have to repeat that again. They cannot switch anything on defense because the guys are lazy. Kyle Korver is not anything on defense. This team is in huge trouble. To wrap it up, this team is in huge trouble, and they're in huge trouble because they can't switch anything on defense. They are so deficient from three, and they're relying on LeBron for almost 80% of their offense. With Kyrie, you could at least spell LeBron for like 2 minutes. LeBron can't take 30 seconds off the court now. Right. With Kyrie, it was too, like, you know, you couldn't leave Kyrie on the court for 2 minutes, you know, too long, because, you know, he might start wilding a little bit. Now you can't take LeBron off for 15 seconds without them giving up a 20-point lead. And now we're at the point where even if LeBron is on the court, he cannot make up the deficit. And, shit, man, I'm going to just call it. I think he's going to Houston, but we'll get into that as time goes on.
No doubt. What about you, FIFO? Man, we've talked about it, man, but you saw it. Has this team quit on LeBron?
They have, man. They have. And that's I think this is the first time that we've seen that in LeBron's career. You know, he has some guys that, you know, K-Love has a big contract. Isaiah Thomas is trying to play for a big contract. He was third in MVP voting. You just have guys that seem like they're entitled, like they don't believe that, you know, this is probably the first time that LeBron just hasn't been able to galvanize an entire unit. So I think this is going to be the story of Bron as he, you know, winds out his career, because, like I previously said, it's over in Cleveland. So any other situation that he goes to, is LeBron still going to kind of be that number one-ish kind of guy? Because he's going to have to go to a place that has talent, right? Especially if he's going to sign as a free agent. He's not going to go anywhere and then just be kind of, you know, like second fiddle to another team. You got to go to a place that has talent. And I think LeBron, at this stage in his career, he has to... This is gonna sound messed up, but he's gonna have to figure it out. You know, I don't think, you know, I think that this is going to be new challenges. I think this is not gonna be Miami. Like this is gonna be completely different for Bron. You know, you had arguably the best point guard in the East say, yo, I'm out. You know, so you didn't have Kyrie's buy-in. You know, everybody that's on the squad now doesn't have buy-in. And then when you have a guy like J.R. Smith that we know he's a loose cannon, doesn't take shots, doesn't score in several games, like, what is going on? Like, I don't think you can pinpoint it to any one particular play. You can't put it on just Lou. You can't put it on just Bron. You can't just put it on the guys quitting. You can't just put it on bad rotations or whatever, X's and the GM and the relationship between that. It's a culmination of all of these things. And I think that LeBron, because he hates Dan Gilbert so much, he's going to stick it to him. He's not going to waive that no trade clause. But like I said weeks ago, I'd make it super uncomfortable for LeBron. I'll trade everybody else. I'll give them the bums. Like, do you still want to stay? Because I'm going to guarantee that we're not going to win this year. So you either allow me to trade you and get something in return for you, or you're going to have to play with all these scrubs. And guess what? I'm going to get rid of them anyway. And we're going to be bad and get draft picks anyway. So what do you want to do? That's the reason why I like what Jerry West did with the Clippers. Expedite the process. You know what's going to happen. You can't bypass the inevitable. It's going to happen. LeBron is going to leave. If you can't, if he won't waive his trade clause, we'll make them play with bums and see what happens.
Well, Ralph, I think if he did that and he gave him bums, I think they would be better than this team that he got now. I really do, because they'll know their role. They'll fit right in.
What did you make of that game, Ken?
Man, I didn't even see the game. Thank God.
Oh, you didn't miss much.
I was out. Yeah. Yeah, I was out, and I wanted to actually watch it, because I just thought they were gonna get their act together, and then I looked up and saw that it was just a blowout, and you know, I saw LeBron facing the towel and everything like that, and I have never seen this from a LeBron James team, ever since he's been playing.
Right.
This is completely new. This is completely different. I'm with Ralph. It's hard to pinpoint one problem. You know, I started the season off when they started 5-7 and was like, all right, Lou, what's up? And I kind of echoed that a little bit on Twitter, but then I realized that they're firing all the black coaches in the NBA, so we can't get rid of him. So, and there's so many things that's going on with this team, and I'll start with IT. And I remember when IT played his first or second game, and I text y'all, man, and I said, IT is going to be a problem. I saw it. Yep, and yep. IT is a problem. Because IT went up in Boston and he basically became Jeremy Lin wearing black skin. That's all he was. Everybody loved him. Yep. The little man playing the Giants game, putting up 30. It's fascinating to watch. And what we found out is that he's not 30 plus, he's 15. But IT don't know that. IT still think he's 30 plus.
Mm.
And like you said, what we've learned by switching the pieces out is that Kyrie's doing less. When Kyrie sits, they're still winning. Terry Rozier is playing well. Brad Stevens augments a lot of those players. And they got Kyrie. They got Kyrie thinking Kyrie's a good defensive player. And that just should tell you enough right there, because Kyrie has never been a good defensive player. It highlights Brad Stevens, but it also shows Tyronn Lue's deficiencies as a coach. But here's the thing, man. Yeah, Griffith, FIFO, you're right. Griffith is a problem. He's running the team. He's back where he wants to be. He and LeBron don't get along. They're bumping heads. And I'm with you. I probably would, you know, make it miserable for him and get him out of there, because like Stephen A. Smith said on First Take today, he don't want him there. He don't want him there. So LeBron did his job. He got them the title. And now it's time for him to go take care of himself. I'll close with this. The Cavs, after the trade deadline, and I know we're going to get into that next, probably will be better. Right now, they probably got players on that team that's afraid of being traded, don't want to put forth much effort because they don't know if they're going to be on the team. Right. But when the deadline is over, I think LeBron can probably rally them troops, get them back on track, because what's in that locker room is who you got. And everybody knows that they are going to be there. And for me, they need to be men. They need to get their shit together, and they need to put their egos aside and fit in with the rest of the team. Because at the end of the day, the new guys that are on that team haven't won shit. IT, you lost to LeBron. Jay Crowder, you lost to LeBron. Jeff Green, you lucky to still be in the league, bro. Everybody, y'all haven't done anything. Every year LeBron goes to the finals. And if you put your egos aside, you put your agendas aside, you will go to the finals. And if y'all come together and play together as a team and follow the game plan and execute, and Luke figure out a way to hide IT and work out these problems they have switching, they got a shot, because they have enough depth on that team. And I don't care about age, because, hell, that time Jordan won, Jordan was 35, somebody else was 37, and they were old. And they still won. So, for me, they need to get in line and realize that they are not LeBron. And every year, LeBron was sending their ass home. So, hey, man, what will LeBron say? Figure out a way to get it. I won't even say what LeBron said. I'll say what Too. I'm going to go to Too Short. Get in where you fit in.
A classic. Yeah, that's a hip hop classic saying. I don't really have much to say, man. I got in to the crib, you know, running around Saturday, and I really was looking forward to watching the game. I'm like, okay, so we sit down, got the family, we're sitting there watching the game. I'm like, okay, let me go grab me some. And I mean, like, literally, I went from my living room to the kitchen to grab something to drink. I come back. And the Cavs were down for like six. And I'm literally out the room for like 2 minutes. Mm. And the lead goes to like from six to like 15. I'm like, well, damn, what the hell did they, you know, Harden CP3 hit a couple of threes. And it was like on from there, man. And like literally by the end of the first quarter, I had no interest in, I mean, I wasn't even tweeting about it. People were tweeting me like, oh, did you see that? I'm like, I'm not watching. And somebody said, well, maybe you should just put it on as background noise. I'm like, nah, it's a wrap. I might as well turn Netflix on. I'll say this. I've always said that I stopped short of questioning any athlete's efforts or their heart, because those are two things that you can't really measure in any athlete. I don't care how good they are. I don't care how bad they are. But LeBron, his actions in that game, he checked out. I mean, I'm not going to say he quit, but mentally he checked out of that game, because it really was about Houston punching them repeatedly. And, you know, the Cavs didn't want to fight back. And that speaks to it's something bigger than that. It's more, and I'm sure years from now, we'll find out what exactly went on in this. We're already hearing things trickling out about LeBron cussing out executives and, you know, not being told and being upset about not being looped in on, you know, personnel decisions. He's frustrated, you know, allegedly about the fact that the Cavs haven't made any moves. And he, you know, he's seeing guys like Blake Griffin get traded and all of this stuff like that. And, you know, I haven't seen anything to lead me to believe that Dan Gilbert is going to make any trades for the Cavs to get better going forward. So LeBron pretty much is going to have to try to win with what he has. And we really kind of hate making these conversations, you know, in February, but it's not like how it was in years past. This team is in a really, really bad spot. You know, have they quit on him? I think the Cavs as a team, they're giving the same effort that they see LeBron giving. And that effort that he gave Saturday, now I didn't see the game tonight, but the effort that he gave Saturday night was piss poor. And they followed suit. And, you know, when you're, you know, when your body is, you know, you're showing emotions and you're kind of slumped over and you're not energetic or anything like that, your teammates feed off that. And, you know, so I think if LeBron wants to see more effort from his team, I think he's going to have to put forth more. And that's not to say that he's out here dogging it, because I think he puts in the work. But I think he's going to have to do something to elevate these guys, because they're going to feed off of him. And, you know, if he doesn't bring it and he doesn't bring it energy wise, I mean, and like Q said, defensively, they're in bad shape, man. I mean, like, they can't guard anybody. So it's going to be tough, man. I, you know, we're hearing rumors that, you know, they're looking at DeAndre Jordan and George Hill and, you know, but is there any trade that's going to make them that much more better than what they are? I don't know. So we'll see, man. But, you know, the trade deadline is this coming Thursday at the time of this recording. So let's move there. Going to be several players February 8th. I think the trade deadline is February 8th, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Players will be on the move. FIFO, who are some players that you think will be on the move?
Oh, man. Probably the rest of that Clipper squad is going to get gutted. Danilo Gallinari. They still have pieces that they acquired that they can still move. I think obviously Cleveland is, we'll see. I think Cleveland will be telling, if Dan Gilbert believes he can re-sign LeBron, they'll probably make a move to appease LeBron. If not, and we know that, you know, this is going to be a power tug of war, then they won't make a move, and just let LeBron do what he can do with this squad and hold on to that Brooklyn pick. I think there's several players across the NBA, you know, somebody like George Hill that's stuck in Sacramento, with the ascension of De'Aaron Fox starting to play well toward the middle of the season, going through the back end of the season. So, you know, I think there's a lot of guys in the league that will probably move to playoff teams, like New York got a couple of them, like Courtney Lee. You know, those are playoff type guys. Those are guys that can go help a San Antonio, that can go help a Toronto, that can go help a Boston. I know Boston is interested in Tyreke Evans. So I think we're going to see a lot of, like, mid-grade guys like that make a lot of moves, because I think that for the most part, there's going to be teams that feel that they can get a guy or two that'll put them over the hump. And not necessarily to compete with Golden State, but to get to the final, you know, especially in the Eastern Conference. But, yeah, man, I think we're still going to see a lot of moves to be made.
True indeed. What about you, B? Any players in particular that you think will be on the move come this Thursday?
I wouldn't be surprised if Orlando shake up some things and pop likely trade off either Evan Fournier's or Aaron Gordon. I can see them blowing that up. Of course, DeAndre Jordan. His talks of him being moved is for the past month and a half about DeAndre Jordan getting traded. And of course, by Clippers trading off Blake Griffin, it's like we're starting to see the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? George Hill. He's been talked about a lot. I can see him getting shipped out and moved somewhere. I mean, they've been saying Cleveland for the longest. He's going to Cleveland. I'm like, what the hell are he going to do for Cleveland? I thought that was weird. I'm not saying this is a smart move, but like, I could see Boston making a move, for Marcus Smart if the offers are right. I can see Boston making a trade for Marcus Smart if the deal is right. Hawks, I think they about to blow it up. I can see them. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade off Schroeder or Bazemore and try to just get some draft picks and just focus on the future. And I think that's about it. I don't see my Pistons making any more splashes. Yeah, I think that's about it. That's all I got. Yeah.
Ken, what about you? Anybody in particular you think may be on the move come Thursday?
Yeah, I think they did a good job of kind of covering guys that were out there. I know I saw Mark Stein say Moutier is being floated out there. Yeah, he hasn't done much since he's been in the league, so he can do a change of scenery. There's been talk of Ersan Ilyasova being shipped out, which I hope happens because that'll free things up with John Collins to let him play more. So that's more than likely going to happen. Something's going to happen there. I just saw that Derek Favors was on the market, which was interesting. Oh yeah, Gortat. I saw he was on the market too, which I thought was kind of crazy. You know, Mister. We had a good team game, taking shots at John Wall. Yeah. Right. Yeah, which is crazy because, man, I think
Oh, shit.
Damn. Yeah, FIFA and I, we buried Washington last week, and then they go out.
They were playing some good ball here recently, though.
Yeah, they won five in a row, so they're making us look bad right now. So, but anyway, yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got, man, all that I've seen and all that I kind of know of. So, yeah, that's it.
What about you, Q? Anybody, that we've mentioned or haven't mentioned that you think may be on the move come Thursday?
Man, yeah, I do. LeBissiere in Sacramento, he's probably going somewhere. George Hill, he's probably going somewhere. Everyone, I think Rodney Hood gets traded because – pretty much Utah was looking for that guy after Hayward, and they tried to groom Hood into being that guy, but I think they see superstar potential in Donovan Mitchell. So I think that, you can get some good draft picks back or a good player back for a guy like Rodney Hood, maybe in a deal with Favors, and get a good guy back. The entire Clippers team is available. I don't think anybody's going to be able to really – well, not anybody. I don't think Cleveland is going to be able to make an offer for DeAndre Jordan that's enticing enough to Jerry West unless there's like a pick in there. And we'll see. I think Wesley Matthews is going to be available from Dallas, which would be a good pickup for a team that's right on the edge or a team that needs bench shooting and whatnot. I think Clippers are going to be contacting Portland a lot over Nurkic. And I think we're going to find a way to get a trade done for Nurkic and Jordan. I don't know. I heard the Magic are shopping Aaron Gordon to see his value. I don't know why they would do that, but it makes sense. If you just want to see where your star's value is, I think Hezonja and Evan Fournier are on the market. So teams are going to look. They're going to be definitely on the search for guys of Poirier's talent, which is perimeter shooting. You can never have enough of that in the NBA. There's one more team I was thinking about. The Sixers. Obviously, the Sixers are going to be looking to get at Tyreke Evans. We'll see what happens there. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are looking for a first-round pick in return for Tyreke Evans, which I don't think is happening unless you are a team like Boston that has 3,000 of those. So we'll see what happens there. I think Phoenix, if they're smart, they'll make Tyson Chandler available for like the right price, because that team is not going anywhere at all. That team is not doing anything, and I think a team needs a good rim protector. And I think Tyson Chandler on a nice enough deal. It's still kind of steep, but you know, see, it's. I think he's got what, 2 more years left on his deal or whatever. I think a team like the Spurs could use it. You know what I'm saying? You need guys like that. Oh yeah, and also Dwayne Dedmon and Kent Bazemore.
They're being shot. The market.
Yeah, I would love for the Sixers to pick up Dwayne Dedmon because we need a backup big aside from Amir Johnson, who is like 48 years old. But you know, we need a guy like Dedmon. And I think there was one more team. Oh yeah, and Golden State is searching for more help, which you know they about to call in Jesus Christ and you know Megatron in or whatever. I don't know who they're gonna call in, but apparently they're looking for more bench help. I think they're gonna look for more glue guys. So look for them to target guys like Bellinelli. You know, Houston. I'm pretty sure that Houston, Daryl Morey is always active, and OKC is always active at the trade deadline. And I think Avery Bradley is definitely going to be at the top of their list ever since the patellar injury to Roberson. So OKC is definitely going to be active because their defense. I think tonight they're doing pretty well as we speak against Golden State, but against a lot of teams. The defense, since his injury, has been sinking since he went down. So they're going to look at guys like, Bradley. They're definitely going to look at guys like him. And the Nuggets also, Ken mentioned in Moutier, also be on the lookout for Wilson Chandler. I think he'll be on the move. Guys can use that veteran leadership. And I think L.A. is going to be looking to make those trades. Jordan Clarkson is going to be on the move. So pretty much – no team is safe from making the move this Thursday, but I think the most surefire ones is I think we'll for sure see the Clippers, we'll for sure see Boston, we'll for sure see OKC, and we will definitely see the Cavaliers make a move.
True indeed, true indeed. I really don't have anybody. I wrote a couple of names down. You guys pretty much mentioned everybody. Tyreke Evans, Lou Williams from the Clippers. I think the Clippers really are looking to blow that thing up. Somebody mentioned Rodney Hood. The Jazz have been playing pretty good ball, so Rodney Hood is a possibility. Ken mentioned Derek Favors earlier. B, I did have Stanley Johnson written down. I saw his name pop up in a couple of rumors. You know, I know that he was – because he's only been there, what, a couple of years. So I think he's 20, 21 years old. So – I'm not sure about that, but I did see his name popping up. And then obviously DeAndre Jordan, you know, so we'll see, man. But I am of the belief that I think it's going to be pretty hot and heavy probably within the next 24 or 48 hours because you have teams that are, you know, really, really moving and trying to, you know, put themselves in position to either clear up cap space for next year and, you know, just start tanking. Or, you know, really kind of getting themselves in position to make a run. And, you know, particularly teams in the East who see, you know, see what's going on in Cleveland and they know that, you know, Cleveland winning the East isn't a necessary lock. And so, you know, like you said, a Marcus Smart, a guy like that, you know, who is not necessarily playing the way that he was playing the years before. And he got guys behind him that's playing better. So, you know, he's expendable. So maybe you can pick up pieces. And, you know, a team like Boston, that's what they want. They want to be able to pick up as many guys because they know that, you know, they have a legitimate shot at dethroning LeBron. So I'll be interested to see how it plays out, man. And it's always good to see not just the bigger teams, but even teams like Q mentioned, like Philly, teams that are up and coming, add a piece here or there. You know, that might make the difference between you finishing in fifth or, you know, maybe fourth seed or something like that, and seeing teams gel as we move toward the playoffs. So it's not always necessarily the big name teams, if you will, the teams at the top. Sometimes it's the teams in the middle of the pack trying to make the playoffs or solidify their rosters. I think those really, really help as they move forward. Speaking of moving forward, time for us to move on to a segment that we do right before we close out. You know it. You love it. Game played all across the world. One got to go. Of course, these are not they don't come from me. They come from my homie Eclectic on Twitter. You can follow him at @1 got to go. Basically, you give you four topics or four things to pick. You pick one and it has to leave forever. That's pretty simple. That's the way it goes. So we got a couple here, man. Let's go hip hop. Hip hop albums. Q, I'll start with you. Speaker Box Love Below, Outkast. The Black Album, Jay-Z. Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent. College Dropout, Kanye West. One gotta go.
Speaker Box.
Okay, you're getting rid of Cass. Okay. B, what about you? Speaker Box, The Black Album, Get Rich or Dry Trying, or College Dropout?
Speaker Box.
Okay. Boy, it's kind of hard on Speaker Box. Okay. FIFA, what about you?
Speaker Box.
Kenneth.
Give me the four selections again.
Speaker Box, Love Below, The Black Album, Get Rich or Die Trying, College Dropout.
Damn, Speaker Box.
Yeah, I got to get rid of Speaker Box too. I hate when we all agree. Yeah, yeah, that's got to go. All right, let's go movies. Ken, I'll start with you. Coming to America, House Party, Bad Boys, or Friday? One got to go.
God damn. Coming to America, Bad Boys, Friday.
House Party and Friday.
I guess House Party, man.
Okay. Dang. FIFA, what about you? Coming to America, House Party, Bad Boys, or Friday?
One got to be House Party. It has to be House Party.
Q, what about you?
Coming to America is going nowhere, first off. Going nowhere. Friday is going nowhere. And just off the strength of the Eagles winning, Will Smith is not going anywhere. So it has to be House Party. This
guy. He figures a way to put it. What about you, B?
Man. All these movies are pretty iconic, though. I hate to do this to my boy, man. I probably got to go with Bad Boys, and I love Bad Boys. Don't get me wrong, I love that movie. House Party was just, that was the epitome of what I was going through in my middle school and early high school years, man. Like, that House Party was it. That was it. Sir. That was me and all my homeboys. Like, that was our years going to house parties and shit. So I can't, for personal reasons, I'm not getting rid of House Party. So I just because of Bad Boys. It's like you said, Friday. I'm not letting go of Friday. I'm not letting go of Coming to America. But House Party personally touched me more. So I have to keep that. So I just gotta say Bad Boys just off that strip.
Okay, I agree. But I agree 1,000%.
That's how you drive. From now on, you drive just like
that. Nah, man. Come on. Man, House Party was so...
Hey, House Party.
Ken,
the dancing scene in the living room,
in the battling scene? Come on, man. That was so hip-hop, man. Oh, my God.
Come on, Ken. Don't act like you ain't never tried to talk to two girls that were friends.
I know. Tell them, Ralph.
Yeah, y'all tripping. Y'all can't take out Bad Boy. Bad Boy is the classic.
No, I'm giving you, but no, I get you. But I'm saying House Party for me hits me on a personal level than the other one. So that's why House Party's not leaving. That shit I experienced. I experienced that shit growing up. So I'm not letting go of House Party.
You should not act like you didn't talk to the same girl at the party. I mean, two friends at the party. Don't act like you ain't never did that before. We've all done it. I got worse. All right, let's go hip hop, man. Hip hop crews. Hip hop crew. You know, nah, I guess we can call this hip hop labels. Hip hop labels. Young Money. Maybach Music Group. Q, I'll start with you. Young Money, Maybach Music Group. Top Dog Entertainment. A Good Music. One Gotta Go.
That's easy for me.
What you got,
that's
Q?
That's hard.
Now just think about who's all in these groups now. Young Money, Maybach, Top Dog, and Good Music.
I gotta say Maybach Music, bro.
Yeah, that's my pick. That's the easy one for me. Maybach for me.
It's not that simple because it's like everyone's gonna hear old Young Money and think like, oh, Lil Wayne and all Lil Wayne.
Drake and Lil Wayne and Nicki. I mean, even though you might not be a fan of them, they put a good foothold in the game. I mean, they did commercial mainstream wise, but yeah, I got Maybach is easy for me. I mean, it's easy. Yeah. Just they roster, all they roster, like you have Stally who was on there who's not on there no more. I mean, Wale released some subpar stuff on that label.
I'm just going off of like,
you know. Maybach. That's easy for me. It's easy for me. Maybach for me.
All right, well, tell me how you feel, B. That's crazy.
What about you, Ken?
I understand. Yeah, that's easy.
All right, say it one more time.
Young Money. Think about the people in the groups now. Young Money, Maybach, Top Dog, or Good Music. One gotta go.
Young Money.
Yes.
What the hell wrong with you, Ken?
Yes. Yes.
I knew I could count on Ken.
Drake, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, and whoever else they signed. They signed Bow Wow, dog. They signed Bow Wow.
But they also signed Game and Busta Rhymes. Okay.
And what did they do? So, nothing.
Hey, man. Busta washed up, man.
That commercial was funny.
Hey, I did enjoy that one. Who you getting rid of, Fifo?
Maybach.
Nah. I agree with Ken. I got to go. I got to get rid of Young Money on the strength of Drake. Get him up out of here.
Man, can we name one memorable album that came out of Maybach? I can do that for, you know, Young Money.
Yeah. Rick Ross.
Teflon Don. What? That's all I got is Teflon Don. That's it.
Two Drake projects.
I can give you Rick Ross. Now, personally, I loved Rick Ross's last album last year.
That was good.
And the other one, Teflon Don.
Teflon Don.
And it was another Rick Ross album that I love. I can't remember the name of it. It'll come to me. Nah, let me look. I like that. That was already too. But yeah, it'll come to me. But I'm not the biggest Rick Ross fan, but I love those albums. But that's what I'm getting rid of. Get Maybach out of here. Get Young Money out of here. Okay, let's go basketball before we get out of here. Okay. Starting fives. I'm going to pair two starting fives against each other, and you tell me which one has to go. Okay, Team A. And Ken, I'll start with you. Team A. Here's your starting five. Kyrie, Russell Westbrook, Ben Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns, and Anthony Davis. That's Team A. Going against Team B, Steph Curry, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Carmelo Anthony, and Joel Embiid. One gotta go.
Oh man, I really like Embiid, man. But
think about the matchups: Kyrie, Russell, Ben Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns, and the eyebrow, Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
then you got. Yeah. On the other side, you got Steph Curry, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Carmelo Anthony, and Joel Embiid. One got to go.
Jimmy Butler and Melo messed it up for me, man, so I'm going to go with the first one.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, I'm going with Team A as well. I'm going with Team A.
What about you, FIFO?
Yeah, give me the first squad too.
Q.
Can you read the teams back to me one more time?
All right, Team A, I got Kyrie, Russell okay. Westbrook, your boy Ben Simmons, Karl okay. Anthony Towns, and okay. then Anthony Davis. And then okay. Team B, I got Steph, okay. James Harden, Jimmy okay. Butler, Carmelo, and Joel.
Hey, give me Team B, bro. I'm sorry, man. We splashing on them, bro. I'm like, nah. And we're walking up, too. Nah,
crazy. Mello kills Team B for me. I got to go with Team A.
I knew Ralph was gonna go with Team A because Ben Simmons.
Because Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Nah, not even that. It was more so Mello on Team B because when you let off with Steph, James Harden, and Jimmy Butler, I said, "Oh man, that's gonna be a problem for all them little guys over there." But then when you went to Mello, I said, "Oh, you gonna get cooked."
All right, let me. All right, we got one more like that, and then before we move on to our final thoughts. Team A, LeBron, Lonzo Ball, man, you maybe forget what I'm talking about. Okay, Team A, LeBron, Lonzo Ball, Greek Freak. Porzingis, and oh shit, what's my man name right here with the T-Wolves?
Oh, Anthony Carrington Towns?
No, not Carl. What's the other young boy with the
Wiggins?
Wiggins? I lose his name that fast. Andrew Wiggins. Okay, so let me go back. LeBron, Lonzo Ball, Andrew Wiggins, Greek Freak, and Porzingis. That's Team A. Team B, Kevin Durant, Dame Lillard, Bradley Beal, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins.
Be all day.
Give me that second squad. I want that second squad. Yeah, give me that second squad.
Yeah, I think Lonzo just kind of kills
it's
it.
Not even that.
What is Lonzo doing there?
He said, "What is Lonzo doing there?" Oh man. All right, one more. We got hip hop before we get out of here. Hip hop songs. B, I'll start with you. Wu-Tang Clan, Method Man, the song Method Man. Mm. Tupac, I Get Around. Snoop Dogg, Gin and Juice. Mm. A Tribe Called Quest Award Tour. One Gotta Go.
Method Man.
Okay. You getting rid of the meth? Okay. Q, what about you? Method Man, I Get Around, Gin and Juice. Award tour.
Damn, give me meth, man.
Okay. Rico, what about you? Award tour, Gin and Juice.
Man.
Let me finish. Ken, what about you?
It sounds like somebody putting a needle to the record.
What, you stupid? Oh man.
Hey man, the ladies of dance to all of those except Method Man.
Yeah, I gotta get rid of it. That was a jam too, but I gotta get rid of it. The other three are a little bit more iconic as far as hip hop is concerned, so I gotta roll with those two. All right, man. So it's time that we wrap up the podcast. So it's time for our final thoughts. Up first is the guest, my boy Q the Six Man. Q, give us your final thought.
My final thought, man, is that sometimes third time is the charm. Personally, a lot of things in my life I have done for one and two times and didn't work out. You know, whether it came to be, you know, careers, jobs, you know, lady friends. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the third time is the charm. And that was true for the Philadelphia Eagles, where third time we went to the Super Bowl, we got it done. If you listen to my soliloquy earlier, there's not much more I can say other than the fact that the city needed this, and everything that has been culminating towards this, that moment on Sunday. You know, I called Ken Ken knows how hype I was. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I called, shout out Wes, Janae, everybody who I contacted. Everyone knows how special that moment was. To be a fan of a team that has struggled so long to actually just validate its fan base with winning something that's meaningful, and you can look people in the face and say, yeah, we did that, and then you beat the best to do it, and it wasn't given to you. You earned it, like fully earned it. The other team battled back valiantly, but you just took it from them. That, to me, it's the Philadelphia way, man. They don't give us nothing, bro. They don't give us nothing, like anything. You know, we take what we have to get. And the team exemplified that. And when you want something, you got to take it. You know what I'm saying? If you think you deserve something, you got to earn it. And I'm so proud of this coach who got one vote for coach of the year, which is absolutely robbery, in my opinion. No disrespect to the Rams head coach, but that they got bounced out first round. So I don't know why he coach of the year, but that's fine. One vote for Doug Peterson. Nah, that's gross. One vote for Carson Wentz. That's gross. But no disrespect to Tom Brady. It's just, there's so many blows that this team had to overcome for us to get to. there's so many hurdles that like this team had to overcome. There's so many obstacles that we had to face, and every single time it was next man up. So for us to be watching that green confetti fall and to see finally all the fans get to enjoy that moment, third time really was the charm, and it was probably more special for me because you know what it feels like to taste defeat two times prior. But to finally get that sweet release of victory, man, it's like, it's something that you can't really put into words. So Philadelphia, we did this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like they can't take it from us. And my final thought is that I hope Chris Collinsworth got to his destination safely from all the dick riding he was doing on Sunday. Because, bro, I promise you, I hope that check cleared. But, Chris, the Patriots are not coming back. So, shout out to Philadelphia. Shout out Doug Peterson. Shout out Carson Wentz. Shout out Nick Foles. I'm sorry for all the trash I was talking about you. But we did this thing, man. And we finally got this ring. Very proud. And I hope that the teams who don't have rings can experience that thing soon. Like, shout out to Lions. Shout out, you know, Falcons. I hope they all get those rings. And I hope all those fan bases get to enjoy what we in Philadelphia fans were able to enjoy.
No doubt, man. Falcons going to be in the Super Bowl in 2019. Right here. You heard it here first. FIFO, what's your final thought?
Man, I keep it simple. LeBron, you know, you're going to be a free agent. Great way of controlling the media. Just don't do a TV special again. Thank you, FIFO.
Right. No doubt. What about you, B? Your final thought?
You know, since it's Black History Month, I want to shout out, talk briefly about Eldridge Dickey played quarterback for Tennessee State, was a national black college football championship during the undefeated season in 1966. Mm-hmm. He was a three-time HBCU All-American. You know, despite his high draft selection, he never played a game at a quarterback in the pros. The Raiders drafted him. They had him play wide receiver, and he played special teams for 11 games. He finished his career, ended up with 5 catches, 412 yards, and a touchdown. And, you know, he got signed to the USFL Denver Gold in 1984, but he never played a game. Passed away from a stroke at the age of 54. And, you know, it's just amazing. African Americans, they were often denied a chance to play quarterback because teams thought that they lacked intelligence. You know, and during that time, he never took a snap under center despite his IQ of 130, one of the highest IQs at that time, you know, in the quarterback position. You know, so just want to give, you know, just give a little bit of knowledge and a little history on our black excellence, man. And just want to shout out Eldridge Dickey, man. Like I say, he passed away in 2000 from a stroke and was a beast in the HBCU leagues, man. And just never got that chance because of the time. So that's why, you know, we thank the Doug Williams for Washington Redskins and all the other black quarterbacks that succeeded when everyone told them that they wasn't going to succeed, you know, so. Because of his athleticism, they played him at wide receiver, and he just never bounced back from that because he was a quarterback. He wanted to play quarterback. That's what he was. So, yeah, just wanted to give him my final thought about that.
True indeed. Good points. What about you, Ken?
Damn, be dropping the black history facts. There you go, my brother. Right. That's what I'm talking about. It's a black show. This is a black show. Black. Yeah, don't y'all forget that. Don't y'all forget Ken that. Stupid. I'm just saying, man. Just saying. That just reminded me, if you guys get a chance, check out this article. I saw Wes Pendleton tweeted out about Jackie Wallace. Great read. Homeless. Ex-NFL player who played in two Super Bowls. Check that out. But my final thought. Shout out to Janae, man. You know, she used to call in when we were doing the live show. Big Philly fan. She was definitely enjoying herself on IG, Twitter as well, all over the you know, yesterday, today, Sunday, you know, since it went down. So shout out to her, man. It's been a long time coming for them. And, you know, like you said, you know, you earned it. You beat the best, one of the best to ever do it, and Brady. And, you know, I had a rant on IG because I felt that, you know, they were coming after blackness. And Brady's loss helped push that back. They coming again. They coming again because MJ just can't be the greatest player ever. It's just too much. In one of those posts, somebody said that I was a Brady hater. And I wouldn't go that far. I recognize him for his talents, his ability to win, his desire to win. I don't necessarily hate Brady. I think I hate what Brady stands for. And Brady stands for America, white privilege, you know, to be a little bit more exact. And to Q's point earlier in his final thought, Philly earned that Super Bowl win. It wasn't given to him. And during this dynasty run by the Patriots, they were given a lot. They can argue against it. They can point to the wins. They can say what they want. But we've all seen it, we've all witnessed it, and that's why these theories, these conspiracy theories, this Patriot hate that exists, it exists for a reason. Nobody's making it up. So that's why in my earlier point when we were talking about who won and who lost, the reason why I said blackness won is because who's on the Philadelphia Eagles? Malcolm Jenkins. Who was Malcolm Jenkins protesting with? Colin Kaepernick. Blackness. Jenkins, Kaepernick, protest versus the Patriots, versus patriotism, versus Trump. They said all year that protests were going to be a distraction, that Malcolm Jenkins couldn't concentrate and fulfill his duties. Oh, Malcolm, he handled his duty Sunday when he took out Brandon Cooks. What I want to say is congratulations to Philly. I'm happy for you guys. It's been a long time coming. It's been well-earned. It's one of my favorite cities. Great music, soul music, jazz, yes. Everything, man. And I started a couple of weeks ago, and I said I was going to pick Philly because it's the blackest of the two. And that blackness rose to the occasion. Sunday.
No doubt. Oh man, that's funny. That is funny. Yeah, shout out to Philly, man. Again, congratulations on the congratulations on the Super Bowl, man. It, much deserved. And then, what'd you say?
Free Meek.
Oh yeah, Free Meek. Yeah, free Meek. Definitely Free Meek. My final thought, man, actually a little somber note, man. As you got, well, you're finding out now. This actually will be the last podcast that I'm going to be on. I'm actually stepping down as the host as Dead End Sports Podcast. I have a business opportunity that actually is going, that has come about, that is conflicting with our schedule here. So I informed the fellas, and this is going to be my last podcast that you guys will hear me on. I might try to pop in here and there, but you know, for the most part, on a week to week basis, you won't hear me on here anymore. It's bittersweet, I'm gonna be honest, because it's been a good run. It's been a great run, actually. We started this podcast, Jesus, it's been about almost 6 years when I think about it. Many of you don't know, I actually came in contact with these guys. I had a radio show, online radio show called The 12 Radio Show. And a good friend of mine had reached out to me, and she was telling me about this group called Dead End Hip Hop. And she said, her name was Monique. And she said, hey, I got these guys that they know hip hop, and they want to come on your show and talk hip hop. And I'm like, okay, Monique, we'll see. And I really didn't take, when she reached out to me, I said, okay, we'll see. And so I brought these guys on. I didn't know anything about them, anything, nothing, right? So they come on my show and we're talking hip hop. I'm like, okay, these dudes. And so I started doing my little research on them and start watching their videos. And I was like, okay, these dudes, they know the hip hop. And so we got to be cool, man. And then, like, I don't know, maybe about a year later, Ken had asked me, and me, him, and B, matter of fact, we met up at the Chipotle in Midtown. And we talked about, you know, starting this thing called Dead End Sports. And they wanted me to help, you know, and host, you know, their show or whatever. And I was like, okay. And you know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, like, okay, these dudes know hip hop, but do they know sports? And then so I found out very quickly that they do, man. So it's been a great run, man. I got a lot of great memories just from running with these cats. And it's been a lot of fun. And I want to thank everybody, you know, who listened and, you know, got to know me through this podcast and my podcast. And, you know, to the fellas, man, like I told them, you know, I won't be here every week. So, you know, my Tuesday nights won't be the same, but I mean, I got a lot of great memories, man, just from, you know, some of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about when I was driving home today, like thinking about, you know, Rod and FIFO arguing about Kobe and LeBron. Which was a video that we never filmed, but it was just downright hilarious, filming, you know, talking off camera. Ken going off on us when FIFO said that LeBron had rode D Wade's coattails, which was our first video, and it was just downright hilarious. The time where I threw a pass to FIFO and made B fall. Priceless. Priceless. The time that Mike C. Town showed up to a video shoot, and we were on a basketball court, and he went to shoot a layup, and he shot the ball over the backboard. that was like one of the funniest things ever. So, man, I got a lot of great memories. Even like, I remember the time and by far, you guys know from listening to this podcast, B is the most, you know, calmest of the four of us. And we were talking about, we did a video, we talking about point guards, we talking about CP3, and you got to see the video. This dude is, I've never seen him this animated about playing point guard and about CP3. So, man, I got a lot of great memories, man. So, you know, the movement doesn't stop. You guys keep supporting Dead End Sports and Dead End Hip Hop. Again, I'll always be a part of this crew. You know, it's like Ghostface. If Ghostface does something else, he's still a part of Wu-Tang Clan. So that's how I see it, man. So, you know, thanks mm-hmm. everybody for the support. And, you know, y'all will see me around. I ain't going anywhere. I'll still be around. So,
hey, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, you're going out with a bang, man. And I'm glad, you know, it came on a loss for Brady. It's a good way to sign off, man. To sign off.
Yeah.
But we witnessed a lot of history, man, doing this show. And I just typed it out, man, just to go back through some of the first time, some of the things we've seen for the first time. and just some of the things we've seen over the last couple of years, like Seattle winning their Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Peyton Manning getting another one. The Cubs winning their first World Series.
Right.
The Astros winning. Yep. The Cavs winning their first title. The
Cavs winning their first. And we, remember, we watched what was that? We watched Mayweather Pacquiao at B's crib.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did a video. Did a video right after that.
LeBron, the Kansas City Royals winning and going to this World Series back to back.
Villanova, UNC.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh
yeah. That was another one. Yep. The Warriors.
Yep.
came. And what else it got here? Let's see. Philly, of course, winning their Super Bowl, and then LeBron being in the finals every year we did.
Every year we did it.
Well, yeah, it's dope, man. It's been an honor, doing this show with you, man, and becoming a brother.
No doubt.
To me and staying a part of my family, man, and just kicking it on here, man, and just chilling and hanging out and just witnessing history together, man. Memories that, will last a lifetime, and these shows will go on and last forever. In infinity, man. So, yeah, man, it's been great, man.
No doubt.
But we cannot forget. I can't ever not mention this. We cannot forget the Roy Hibbert episode.
Oh yeah, we can't forget that. We definitely can't forget that.
Yeah, you know I gotta bring it up.
We cannot forget that.
Natural black Roy ass.
Dog, I forgot about that until you just mentioned.
We can never forget that. Like, why would we forget that? No.
Oh shit. I'm going back and watch that tomorrow.
You're like Roy Hibbert. What the hell?
Was a top 5% in the NBA. Good God.
Hey,
Jesus,
man.
Jesus Christ.
I don't smoke weed. I never smoked weed before. I must have been high.
mm-hmm.
Oh, Q, you got to remember.
But the crazy thing wasn't that you had him on the list. You defended him.
right. Like, he defended him to the hardcore, too.
Hey, yeah. But you know how we do, man. When we get something down, we stick with it. You know, like y'all, and that's one thing I learned from y'all. Like, just even watching y'all, and y'all don't. I guess y'all do it so naturally now. Y'all don't necessarily recognize it, but like, if somebody likes an album, if somebody dislikes an album, and everybody else likes the album, whoever disliked the album, they gonna stand on that. So I was like, okay, well, I gotta defend this Roy Hibbert shit because I came back down.
Oh my God.
You got a good memory, dog. I got to go back and watch that.
My goodness, man. My goodness.
But did we burn that video?
We didn't burn that.
No, we didn't burn that one.
I got to go find that one. Was it on Centers?
Yeah.
I'm going to go find it.
Yep.
I think Kyle just killed Roy Hibbert's career, too. Because Roy Hibbert. Never recover.
Been the same. Never recover from that. Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Hey, man.
Where is Roy Hibbert? In the league.
And I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm never going back to where it looked. You go back and look at the comments in this comment section. Man, I made a mistake one day going to the comment section. They were killing me. And it was like a year later.
Dang.
It was like, I just found this Dead End Sports thing. I don't know what this guy's talking about. Roy.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
Woo! Boy, that's a good one. That's a good one, Keith. That's a good one.
It has been a pleasure, man.
Right.
It's been
a pleasure here, man. Definitely a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed, and my kids will tell you, my family will tell you, thoroughly enjoyed, looking forward to Tuesday nights.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah,
they know, and I give them credit too for clearing out the way and like, Dad, you got a show tonight? Yeah, all right, okay, I'm gonna get out of here. And then, sometimes they'll come in and hear what we talking about, especially when we used to do the videos. Like for my oldest and my middle sons, they would, when we were doing the videos, they would love to walk in. I didn't know you was in. I'm like, come on, man, I'm in here recording. They just want to be nosy because they saw the camera, or whatever. But yeah, man, I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. that's going to do it for us. So for our boy Q coming through again, congrats on the championship. For FIFO, for B, for Ken, and for me signing off for the last time. This is Dead End Sports. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.